Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We got a full crew here in the studio today. Not only is Bill the producer here.
Oh, that was good lunch.
You like that?
Catering's excellent here.
No worries.
The Overboard Entertainment Studio.
Also, we got CJ and Bubble Boy.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here, Greg.
Hola.
There you go. And if that weren't enough.
And it's not.
Pete from Scuba Boards on via the web.
What?
¿Qué pasa?
Yes, he's there down in the Florida Keys. And I believe we have Phil Narcosis, but let's see if it's even working with him. I don't know. Phil, you there, buddy? No, he's trying to call us. I don't know.
You sure he's not playing a xylophone?
That could be it.
I'm just guessing.
Or leaving a convenience store.
So anyway, Phil is down.
If the phone doesn't ring, it's me.
Okay, fair enough. Phil is actually down in West Palm Beach today, but he just got back from the Red Sea. So we plan to find out how his little adventure went. I saw some video and pictures. Commie?
Yeah, the Red Sea.
Red. Oh, I got it.
Wow.
Is that like the Red
Sea? Not funny if we have to explain it, Greg.
Yeah. Well, about as funny as it was.
Listen, Lester.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot. We got a full crew, but we got a lot to discuss today. A lot of stuff has been happening in the news. Before I forget, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth. Last night was the season finale of Megan Heaney Greer's show, Treasure Quest: Snake Island. Did you see it, Bill? Did you see it?
Yes,
you
finally I did. Finally.
You finally.
I watched the end of it, and I totally understood everything.
Well, because they gave you a little preview.
Yes, before, they did,
and they caught you up to speed.
Absolutely.
And they didn't find the treasure.
No.
Unfortunately, which means there's
season
more.
Season two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've already talked to Megan, and I asked her, I said, so, you know, you were there in Brazil filming this show for Discovery Channel for like 3-4 months, and you guys got 6 episodes out of it. Is that where it ends? Is there more footage there that, you know, they could turn this into another, you know, season or something? And she was a little elusive in her her answer. She said, yeah, there was definitely stuff they didn't show that they could turn into another, you know, run, but it probably would be another expedition altogether. So we'll see.
Was she driving a brand new Rolls Royce?
No. And she was talking to me. So that was the dead giveaway.
Well, those are the two things right there.
Exactly, that she didn't find the treasure on that. I kind of figured that much out from knowing her association with
Arco. But they're still trying to turn it into a gold mine.
Yeah, of course. That's pun number one from Pete at Scuba Board, and I'm sure there's
strike
many
one.
More. Yeah.
Put them on the board. Two
okay.
More.
Oh, brother. But, yeah, it was a good show regardless. And, you know, we wish Megan the best. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's going to replay on Discovery for, like, the next 3-4 weeks. So check it out. Season finale, Treasure Quest, Snake Island. Fun. It was good TV. I enjoyed it. And there's some diving in there as well. And a little Indiana Jones stuff going on.
A lot of snakes. Cool. A lot of snakes
on Snake Island. Very well.
A gem of
named.
A show.
Yes. That's two.
Strike two.
Yep. What happens when he gets three, CJ?
He's out of here. We lose the connection.
Okay.
Zero tolerance.
You're on thin ice there, Pete. So, I don't know. We'll have to leave it at that. All right. So, last week.
Also, Hemi is here. You didn't introduce Hemi.
Yeah, he did.
I did. Well, okay, you weren't paying attention, as usual.
I was locked into your Treasure Island story.
Okay, well, fair enough. No, I know Hemi's here. Bubble Boy.
I was wondering if the Megan was related to David Alan Greer, the comedian.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. No, she is. Seven removed. I mean, through Kevin Bacon, I believe.
Always.
Yeah.
It's always
so, anyway, so we got that.
And you complain about my jokes.
Yeah, that's right, CJ.
That wasn't a joke. That was just a natural, humorous, amusing comment.
But I think it still counts as a strike. So
no, I'm immune.
That's a foul.
I'm immune.
What?
That's a foul. I've got immunity.
You've got immunity?
Yeah, I've got immunity.
He won the challenge.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, someone's going to be evicted from the island before the end of the show. I have no doubt. But last week,
Bill, do you know how to run the board?
I do.
Okay.
No, it's not me.
We're good. We're good.
It's not me. All right. Now, last week, I did produce. I alluded to the future, and I voiced some concerns about a thing going on down in St. Croix last week, and this was, it's unfortunate what has happened. But last Saturday, while we were on the air, there was a world record deep dive attempt going on in St. Croix. I mentioned it, and my overall feeling about it at the time was like, hey, they're doing this. I had heard about this. Didn't hear a lot of, hubbub before the actual event, but I knew it was taking place. I'd heard about it just a couple days before showtime. And I knew it was going on at the same time, and these things always kind of concern me a bit because, when you're talking about diving deep, that's really not the reason we scuba dive. It's really to go down and explore things and see things that other people can't. And just because you go deeper doesn't mean you're going to see more. You're generally going to see less because there's less sunlight and that kind of thing. But there is kind of a thing where people go, hey, the deeper you go, the more macho you are, that kind of stuff. And there's definitely limits and people die. And unfortunately, that's what happened last week. World record attempt ended in tragedy. And I think he was last spotted around 300 feet or something, according to, the reports I saw. Is that what you saw too, Pete? What you've seen gabbed about on scubaboard.com?
Actually, he wasn't seen at 300 feet.
Well, he was supposed to on the return. But like when he saw them, he was around 300 feet, and then he didn't come
back.
About
200 feet, if I remember right. The company down to 200 feet, they didn't want to get a lot of nitrogen on board. He breathed off of their gases to preserve his own down to 200 feet.
Yeah.
And then he descended.
Yeah. So he was going to 1,200 feet. Now, the recreational limit, remember, is 120 feet. So this guy was attempting to go break a world record for the deepest dive, 1,200 feet. I think I would have broke it by about 50 feet or something, if I remember correctly.
I believe the previous record was a little over 1,000, like 1,015 or something like that, not quite 1,200.
1,085.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay.
The thing is, his own personal maximum depth going into this dive, 800.
Yeah.
So it was a 50% increase, 800 to 1,200.
Well,
an increase of 400, that's an increase of 50%, and I hate to talk to you about how math works, but we'll draw pictures later. It's an increase of 50%.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. 800 to 1,200?
Yes.
That's only 400 feet.
400 is 50% of 800.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay, yeah.
Common core.
Math sucks. Anyway.
We'll use the new math, and we'll draw. Never mind.
Yeah. Okay, but regardless, what I was saying last week is people die doing this stuff. I mean,
and this guy did it.
Well, and he did, and what I was alluding to at the time was talking about the dive god, Neil Watson, our buddy. Mm-hmm. He holds the deep air record. It's like 437 feet or 17 feet, something like that. I forget exactly the right number. But Guinness Book of World Records quit recognizing Neil's record for the deepest dive on air. And this was back in the 70s because so many people died attempting to break Neil's record.
Right.
And so they wanted to take that incentive away. I mentioned that last week, and I kind of was going that route with this. Like, look, I don't blame anybody for wanting to try to do this if that's their goal in life and they want to do. But this is serious stuff. There's reasons we have limits and we have these guidelines as far as recreational diving for sure. But, of course, we're talking about pushing the envelope of technical, tri-mix, heliox-type diving. This is really high-end stuff. And who knows what the human limitations are. We really don't know. That's the truth of the matter.
That's not true, Greg. They do know.
Well, no, they do not know because...
Actually, they do know.
How do you
and figure? Strike three. Sorry, we lost the connection.
Well, that wasn't a pun. We'll let them slide. Okay.
Yes, but
you have to realize they've been diving way below 1,000 feet for a long time. And all the problems that he was going to face that actually did him in were known before he descended, and he didn't listen to what everyone else was saying.
Well, I'll give you that much that, well, he may have listened, but he may have ignored the warnings or what. But we don't know what happened to him. The only person that knows what happened to this guy is him. Because after 200 feet, he was the only person there monitoring the situation. There was no safety diver. You can't have a safety diver when you're doing something like this. All right, we'll continue this discussion on the other side. That and much, much more right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Attention divers, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device any Beyond Boundaries diver needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/scuba to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, this is Mermaid Nikki. You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now here's my close personal friend and all-around super great guy, Dave.
How's that, Dan?
It's not Dave?
How's that, Dan?
That creep, really? Okay, Greg. Here's Greg the Dive Master. Yeah, cool. Remember, he has to stay at least 10 yards away from me at all times.
Am I turning you on?
I'm serious.
My God, you're greasy.
Don't let him get too close to me.
Oh, baby.
Greg, back off. I'm packing, Greg. I'm packing. Back off. Back it up. Back it up, Greg.
Whoa, hey. Aren't there laws against firearms in the studio?
There are a number of laws.
Yeah.
Which are important.
We broke most of them.
My goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Mermaid Nikki, haven't talked to her in a while, but she is threatening to join us for DEMA in November.
That'll teach her.
Which we're talking about doing a unofficial Scuba Radio Mermaid reunion. And Mermaid Nikki, one of the originals, and has threatened to join us for that event. So we'll see how that unfolds here in the coming months and keep you informed accordingly. All right, so we're talking about this issue or this world record attempt that took place last Saturday in St. Croix. And the guy was going for 1,200 feet, didn't make it. Pete from Scuba Board is...
Actually, we don't know that he didn't make it. We know he didn't make it back.
Well, true. He does have the...
I mean,
that's just wrong,
no,
Bill. Really?
The bottom line is we don't know what happened.
Technically, exactly. He's correct.
The only one who knows what happened is him. And that's, right. I guess, was my
suffice
point.
Suffice it to say, he reached the end of his rope.
Yeah, well, okay. You're really, really flirting with strike number three there. Better watch it there.
That was a foul ball.
He was on a rope.
That was a foul ball. That one went right down the line there.
But Pete, I guess that's what I'm saying. The only one who knows what happened with this guy is him. Because he didn't make it back. How do you figure? We don't know what failed. If it was...
Greg.
You know, the technical issues with your talking about...
We do know what failed.
Okay, explain.
It comes down to... two very common problems that happen with deep divers. One is HPNS. For those of you who are not familiar with it, that's high pressure neurological syndrome. Okay. And that happens when you have too much nitrogen. The
right.
Second problem that comes up is what's called compression arthralgia, which means arthritis produced by a descent. Now, you know, as we descend and breathe nitrogen, the nitrogen fills our tissues, right?
Yes. That is what leads to the bends.
Well, once you come up, it leads to the bends. While you're down
Correct.
There, it's fine.
Well, right.
If you go down too quickly, you don't have enough gases in your system to actually allow joints to move. And so everything gets crushed together. It's like arthritis caused by the compression.
Okay, so you're talking about oxygen toxicity, right?
No.
That's a totally different thing. But we have that
totally different thing. This is a high pressure nervous disorder, HPNS.
Okay.
And for a good source of this, you know, because trying to tell everybody this, it's going to be difficult in the short time that we have. My good friend Steve Lewis, known by Doppler on Scuba Board, has a wonderful description of all these deep diving problems on the homepage of Scuba Board.
Okay, and I don't discount that. I'm sure that's been discussed. This guy wasn't a beginner diver. Now, in the technical...
Yes, he was.
Well, in the technical diving world, he could be considered that, but we're talking about someone who's been diving for several years, obviously took a technical diving trek.
Four.
Okay,
diving for 4 years.
Okay, I'm a beginner, and I've been diving
for
10
years ago.
Yeah, but he had been. I think if I remember, I did read something that he had several hundred dives under his belt. Now, so
less than 600.
What kind of belt, Greg?
Dive belt.
A black belt?
No, it wasn't.
That's strike two.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I think it does.
I don't think it was.
All right. So, well, and I understand that it's all.
I don't think you do.
All right, I'll just turn his mic off.
Let's look.
What the question I have?
Walked over the line. Right,
someone who died a long time ago, Sheck Eckley.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Who died doing this very same thing, trying to go too deep.
Yeah.
Now Sheck had thousands of dives, probably close to 5,000 or 6,000, possibly more.
That's not true.
Dives in that.
CJ, just stop it.
He was a real pioneer.
I'm going to kill his mic. I swear. Well, I know.
You compare the two,
exactly.
It's not even close
Look,
the amount of expertise he has.
I am not arguing the fact that this guy needed more time before he was attempting something this crazy. But what I'm saying, first of all, he is a doctor, so obviously he had some education as far as what he was getting himself into as far as psychologically and physiological issues associated with deep diving. Surely he had some training and might have been aware of those things. I can't even pronounce some of the stuff you're talking about because you're in such a technical diving world. When you get to that level, you really got to be on your toes. Even if he only had 600 dives, if he's doing dives past 200 feet, you're into a whole different world of deep diving and physiology issues that you have to know what the hell you're dealing with, or you will die immediately. You don't have to go down to 1,200 feet to dive. You can go down to 150 feet and die if you don't know what you're doing.
But let's do it.
But not from HPNS and not from... compression arthralgia.
Okay, well, how do
those
you know
two won't happen?
How do you know he
until
wasn't?
You get below 1,000
but you
feet.
Don't know he wasn't familiar with those issues that could have arrived. You know,
well, no, well, it doesn't. I don't think that.
Here's what? Three things that I think caused his demise. Okay, hear me out here. First one, ignorance. I don't think he knew all that he thought he knew.
Well, I think that's
and ignorance pretty, will kill you.
I think that's pretty obvious. I would agree with that one.
Okay.
And poison.
Second thing.
Poison? No.
Second thing, the man practiced denial. I don't care what you think, how well you understand the physics. You know, if you understand how to get to the moon and back, deciding to jump off a cliff and swim to the moon, you're still going to die.
No, wait. I don't agree with that one.
I don't follow.
Let's say he had done his homework and he knew what he was getting himself into and something came down and he had a friggin' stroke or a heart attack. It could be something as simple as that. We don't know what happened to the guy.
But could have been a Sharknado.
It could have been
an underwater vortex thing. Yeah.
We know that arthralgia would have probably been the most limiting factor here. His bones would have been compressed so hard when he hit 1,000 mm-hmm. and got below that,
yeah.
that there's, especially at the speed he went. He went way too fast for that not to be a factor.
And he had never gone down that far before because his deepest dive was just over 800 feet.
Right.
So he'd never experienced that.
He had never gone into the range where HP&S and compression arthralgia would be an issue.
But here's the question that I have, and this is what this whole thing brings up for me. Why? Who cares that this guy was trying to go down to 1,200 feet? Who cares?
What difference
could it possibly make to anyone? Is it good for diving?
You actually listened to the show last week.
Who cares?
No, I mean about that. Not you.
No, I was talking about what you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
What I just heard Bill, the producer, say is basically he agreed with me, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Because last week what I was saying was, regardless of what happened to this guy who made this world record attempt down to 1,200 feet, what was the point of doing this? I mean, are we glorifying the act of diving deeper? Because if we are, and I know that's one of the issues out there, that's a bad message to send out to anyone.
I mean, it's bad enough that if I mention I'm a diver, people think that I'm a
badass.
They think I'm an adrenaline junkie. They think I'm doing it for the excitement.
How many times do you get asked, which I do all the time, what's the deepest you've ever gone?
Right.
Well, you get that.
It catches
sure.
me off guard because I'm like, why are they
tomorrow, I'm climbing Mount Everest.
If you tell someone what's the deepest, when they ask you that question, you say, well, I've been down to, say, 110 feet. They're going, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been down to 50 feet. They're like, oh, my God.
What I tell people when they ask me that is that diving has totally changed my perception of what depth is all about, because I thought that when I was on a sailboat at Boy Scout camp and I knew the water was 18 feet, I thought that was the deepest place in the entire world, and it scared the bejesus out of me. And now, if it's not at least 50 feet, I have no idea why I'm on a boat to go diving.
Hmm.
Yeah. I just don't understand it.
And they found that treasure in, 6 feet of water?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's not about how deep you go.
It's about how you go deep.
No, well, true. It's about are a diver.
It's the width.
Just the fact that you're diving.
We should call ourselves widthers.
Is enough to impress your friends.
Yes.
And it's not how deep you go. It's the
how
fact
you go
that
deep.
It's exactly. It's I like
width.
It.
Let's go widthing.
That, you know, that, I think that is strike four now for you, actually, young man. Yeah, I expect
Greg, maybe you don't have to go deep because you're already satiated. You have already a record of sorts.
You know what?
You have the world's lamest radio show.
I would like
you're satisfied.
All right, you just go stand in the corner during the Dan tip. That is going to be your punishment.
I will not.
And put on the dunce cap, too. Yeah, that'll teach us.
I thought it was a Santa hat.
More coming up after a Dan tip. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio Divers Consumer Tip Number 88. Although the odds are against you in finding buried treasure on your next dive, there is a better-than-average chance you will see a sunken chest belonging to a weathered old sea hag giving you the stink eye from across the dive boat.
It's terrible! She has beautiful eyes and her hair smells like cinnamon!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio today, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What are you working on over there, Nick?
Just a list of things I'll need when I go diving tomorrow.
Ah, the old checklist. Gear, first aid kit, oxygen unit.
Nope, different list.
Oh, so you're working on dive planning, making sure your gear is ready, having an emergency plan.
Nope. Different list. All of that is important to be sure, but do you realize how many non-diving elements there are that become essential to a good day of diving?
Not really. Can't say I ever gave it much thought, but now that you mention it, I guess there are. I mean, water is the first one that popped into my mind, because if you get dehydrated, we all know that can ruin a good day.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Water's an excellent example.
Yep, that's a good one. I know they don't call me Lobster Boy for nothing, and it sucks when it happens. Few things are more uncomfortable than a wetsuit on a sunburn.
Ooh, you said it. Not to mention the safety element. The discomfort of a wetsuit-coated sunburn can keep you distracted, which is not a good way to dive safe.
Sunscreen can make you a safer diver. Who knew? So along those lines, I'd have to add a hat or visor to the list of non-dive stuff that can contribute to dive safety.
Hats and visors help to prevent both sunburn and other heat-related illnesses, so yes. But add t-shirts to the list as well.
How about a change of dry clothes in general?
That's a good one, especially if it's chilly out of the water. You'll want to make sure you stay warm between dives.
No hypothermia here.
Excellent. I guess you should include a towel with that, since it can also double as a wrap if you don't want to use it to dry off.
Towel, check. All right, you know, going back to the water and hydration, I think we need snacks too.
Good plan. Snacks help to keep you fueled and energized, which helps you from becoming overtired in the water. Definitely a contributor to safety.
I've got one more.
What's that?
You should have your Dan card.
And with that, you are number one on my list.
Of course. As careful as divers are about their dive planning and preparation, it's important to remember the non-diving elements that contribute to a safe and happy day. So take an extra minute to pack that hat and apply that sunscreen. They could be the difference between a problem avoided and a problem to solve. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We're back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bubble Boy and CJ. Bill has left the building. Just like Elvis, he has left. He is done. He had had enough of us.
Couldn't handle it.
And basically after he three agreed strikes. With me, I really didn't need him. I had presented my case, and he agreed, and so I was like, get the hell out. I don't need
you
anymore.
We don't need two Gregs.
Well, no, it's not that. It was just like, you know, I guess I got to convert everybody here, including, you guys are on my side on this, aren't you?
No, yeah, we're not.
I am.
You're not. CJ isn't. I thought after you came back from the corner that you would be a little bit more open to my...
I am. You think I'm not?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you are arguing with me just for the sake of arguing.
I'm just being contradictory.
That is.
I thought that's what we were doing today.
No. That's Pete from Scuba Board's job. So, look, we're talking about this world record attempt last week in St. Croix that ended in tragedy. The guy died. He was going down to 1,200 feet. And, whatever happened to him, I guess we'll never know. Pete has his theories, and that's fine. But really, the only person
knows. It's not just me that has these theories now.
Well, no, I understand. No, exactly. You're representing a lot of folks that... post on Scuba Board, people are second-guessing what happened on this dive. You know, he didn't have enough experience.
It's not
that kind of
second-guessing. It's science.
Well, we don't know, once again, what happened to this guy, because nobody was there except him. So we don't know what...
Actually, you didn't witness it, but we know what happened. He suffered from compression arthralgia, and he had to suffer from HPNS. There's two ways around it. It's like drinking, an entire case of beer... and crashing because you're drunk and saying, we don't know what happened. We do. We may not have witnessed this. We may not have a video of you crashing.
But he could have been T-boned by a semi.
We could connect those dots.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, or if you were like CJ or Bubble Boy, they can drink a case of that stuff and drive home fine.
Yeah, okay.
No, we don't.
And you don't do that, but I'm saying there's some people that have a higher tolerance, and that's one of the arguments for working up to a depth like that as opposed to making such a jump from like 800 feet down.
You can't work up to that depth.
Okay,
it's
now
physically,
I've read
humanly impossible.
Well,
for you to do on open circuit in the depth in the descent that he required in order to not breathe all his gas away,
Aquaman,
it's impossible
could.
To do that.
No, wait a minute. The record up until this point was like 1,100 feet or something. He was going to beat
not quite 1,100 feet.
Okay, I heard something about it was only a 50 feet difference, but whatever. Maybe it was 100 and something feet. But
what if he had whale blood?
That might have.
But if he was part whale,
that would have been an advantage.
This was compared to doing Russian roulette with only one of the cylinders empty. Okay, every now and then you'll get someone who gets lucky, who doesn't shoot themselves in the head, but
right.
More or less, you go down to 1,200 feet, you're going to die.
Yeah, well, I would agree with you, but once again, we don't know what specific element did him in because we weren't there and we don't have him. We don't know what happened to the guy.
The takeaway, so, Greg, a diver's got to know his limitations. A diver's got to know what limits he or she can deal with, and this guy exceeded his limits, and he paid the ultimate price for it.
I'm surprised none of this stuff was, you know, captured on a GoPro in this day and age where everybody's...
It was captured on
everything.
A GoPro.
I have no doubt it was.
So what, they just have to find the camera?
Yeah, I don't know.
They have the camera. He was pulled up the next day.
No, I didn't hear that.
He's found. His body was... All they had to do was pull up the rope. He was tied to the end of the rope.
Oh, okay.
You know, when I said he went to the end of his ropes, while it was a little bit of a grim humor, it was absolutely true. He was tied to the end of a 1,300-foot rope.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt there's video of this somewhere, and they'll find out eventually what exactly happened, hopefully, by, you know... See, I didn't know they had recovered the body. So there you go. That was something I found out just now from you, Pete. So maybe we'll find some more specific answers to what exactly happened to him. But until that happens, that's where I guess I kind of disagree with you on what exactly happened to him. I'm sure all those elements you bring into play are very likely culprits. But the only person who knows is the person who does an autopsy and that kind of thing. And we find out what exactly happened to him and look at the video and see.
Let's get gross here, Greg.
What do you mean? What, look at the video?
When he went down that deep, that quickly, he on-gassed enough nitrogen that when his body was pulled up, his tissues essentially exploded.
Okay. Well,
so there's no real autopsy that's going to be done. However, I have it under good authority that the U.S. Coast Guard has his gear, his camera, his computers, so they'll be able to determine somewhat actually happened.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt that will happen eventually, and then, you know, you can file out a way for, you know, what not to do or what. We'll find out. But really, when you go back to the beginning of this, and what I was saying last week was, why are we even doing this? We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be glorifying, you know, deep dives like this, or, you know, and you got to think, just it's human nature that people would, you know, want to push the limits. I think that's understandable, and you know, people that want to do that, I have no problem with them doing it. Honestly, if you want to go jump off a cliff, God bless you. You know, send me the video, and after, it might be fun to watch this guy off himself for whatever, you know, twisted reason. But you know, the thing is I don't think we should be glorifying, especially in the world of diving, or thinking that, you know, the fact that, you know, what's your deepest dive? Well, I did 300 feet. Well, I did 350. And you're pounding your chest kind of thing. I mean, that's just, like you said, that's kind of a Russian roulette type of thing. And it's something we shouldn't be.
I ran out of air faster. It was dark. I didn't see anything.
True. Exactly. I mean, it's just not, it goes against, this is diving 101. I mean, CJ, you're a beginner diver in that sense. And you understand this, right?
Yeah.
I ingrained that into your dive instruction as your dive instructor, I believe. And, you know, and I think that's what we should be doing here or if anything we can take away from this unfortunate tragedy, is that we shouldn't be glorifying that type of thing as far as how deep you can go. Because once again, you know, once you get past 60, 70 feet, light disappears anyway. Unless you're going down there for a specific mission to go see a wreck or some type of underwater feature, you know, there's not a whole lot of life down there. You're much better considering a sub or something like that if you want to do something crazy like that. All right, more coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
How many times have you heard your diver friends say it's been a while since their last dive? Let your buddies know how easy they can get back in the water with the all-new PADI Reactivate program. Reactivate is designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water by refreshing fundamental skills and dive principles. Reactivated divers will receive a PADI replacement certification card, and you get your dive buddy back. Contact your local PADI dive center, resort, or instructor to refresh your scuba skills with PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
The food chain. You see, on top there's John Lino.
Right.
There's me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's regular fish.
Oh, that's me.
No. There's plankton. There's single-cell amoebas.
Oh, then there's me.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. There's coral. There's rocks. There's whale poo. And then there's you.
That's messed up.
People limited you by friend I know. Got the world's first scuba diving radio show. Well, he's my real good buddy, and his name is Greg.
He that streaks my fish out of water in a world he never made.
True dive master of the radio way.
Very sexy. If you're crazy.
So now everywhere I am, and everywhere I go, first thing that I tune to is Scuba Radio. That's not all. He's got his own mermaid.
Get on top, honey.
Whole dang pod. And all that I keep thinking is, man, I want his job.
It's perfect. I won't have to change this at all.
So now everywhere I am, everywhere I go,
let's go while we're young.
First thing that I tune to is Scuba Radio.
So sweet.
That's right. Oh man, Greg, are you hurling again, buddy?
No. That wouldn't be me. I wouldn't do that. That is the Scuba Cowboy. He's planning to join us in hour two with Big Show today. Just got back from Roatan and getting stung by a lionfish. So we'll get the lowdown on what happened to him. Also, Phil Narcosis got back from the Red Sea, so we'll have that as well. We've got a few other little surprises up our sleeve, so you're going to want to stick around for that. Now, we're going to finish up this discussion on this world record attempt, deepest dive. And, you know, we can talk round and round about, you know, what happened to this guy. But glorifying a deep dive is really where I want to go, or any of this type of stuff. And Pete from Scuba Board, I got to ask you, how do you feel about people pushing the envelope like this? Whether it was a deep dive, do you think it's the same type of problem we have with people trying to break, you know, the other record that people are really pursuing right now is the longest dive? You know, they may be only down 10 feet, but they want to go for like 7 days. Do you feel this kind of falls in the same category, that this shouldn't be going on either, or what do you think?
You know, I don't know that there's a lot of research done on the effects of long-term exposure. I know of at least one Navy diver who spent 3 weeks underwater. And so, you know, I mean, the Navy's really got us beat in a lot of this stuff. We just don't know it.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
To put it in perspective, though, this last dive, I'm calling it a suicide. He killed himself. He killed himself by not respecting his limits. And that can happen to any of us if we don't respect our individual limits.
Well, I think that's a bad term to use in this case, because I don't think he went down with the idea of not coming back up. So,
but that's not what suicide means. That's intentional suicide. This was an accidental suicide.
I'm committing career suicide right now just by being on this show.
Exactly.
Well, okay. But that is a
That's
choice.
My choice, yeah.
And I would not... Actually, I probably should stand
That was
in the
his
way.
Choice, too.
I should intervene. There should be an intervention here.
I have an idea, Greg. What do you think about this? I think you guys can support me on this. I want to go for the world record, the world's shallowest dive.
Well, you've got the world's shallowest person.
I don't think that's ever been documented.
You know what? That would be something that sounds like the type of stunt that we could orchestrate.
Like a goofy radio stunt.
Yeah.
I'll gear up, full gear,
yeah.
Wetsuit, everything, full tank.
You know what?
I like where you're going with this. And being like you could measure it in like, you know, we could even go metric.
Yeah. You know.
Like a millimeter of water.
Bubble Boy Erase, one of CJ Strikes. Okay. I like this.
And we'll fill his wetsuit, with cottage cheese.
Okay. I mean, I'll be weighted for salt water. We could do, you know, salt water. We'd do like an eyedropper.
Yeah,
put it.
You have to have some way to measure it. You know, that
the least amount of water we could possibly
dive in. Okay, I don't know, Pete. Would you cover this?
All I would technically have to do is breathe off the regulator, and maybe
I would approve this dive.
Maybe stay down for like, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Yeah, why not?
20 minutes. I don't know.
Or maybe it would have to be at least enough to cover my whole body. But if I lay flat.
Well,
that could
why
be like 1 foot?
That sounds way too hard. It doesn't have to cover your body.
Here's what we do,
because then it turns into like you know how big the person is.
We could get a kiddie pool. I'm talking about laying down flat.
Yeah,
so
but
we get a kiddie pool.
You know, we take someone like you, or we take someone like you know Mermaid Faith. That's all of like 90 pounds. She would beat your record in you know just one.
Well,
attempt.
I would be the first.
Well,
and
that's
then
that his
records
problem,
are made
isn't it?
To be broken. Yeah.
Yeah. Scuba stands for. Underwater breathing apparatus.
Yeah, so maybe technically I would have to be submerged fully.
Well, you'd have to be breathing underwater. As simple as that. On a regulator for, let's say,
all right, we could do this right now in your bathtub.
No.
Do we have any air or do we need air?
I don't want you in my bathtub. That'd be too, and, you know, that's where I shower.
Leave a ring.
Yeah, he'd leave a ring, seriously. But I do like this. That would be more of the type of stunt that would be fun and, you know, would be sharing the joy of diving without risking
World's
your life or
shallowest
glorifying
dive.
Something that other people might attempt.
I think I should do it. I'm ready.
Might end up hurting themselves.
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, you're leading a effort that I think is a little bit morally
And there's
acceptable.
No danger in trying to break my record.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I've got a better record for you guys to set.
Yeah, what's that?
Have the most fun on a dive.
Oh, I've already had that.
That's right. We got that right. We've had that record. Well, every time we go diving, we're breaking that record.
That's right.
All right, look, we got stuff to talk about in hour two. You're going to want to join us, the Red Sea, Roatan, maybe a little bit more about this. Who knows? More crazy stunts that we can come up with here, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stick around, just getting started.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here, down in the
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.